You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com.
What?
Jack struggled to talk as he held himself up against the doorframe. "Jack, sit down," Billy said quietly. Jack fell to the floor and sat, hugging his knees.
"Billy, you should sit down, too."
Phil slid a chair across the gore-covered floor.
"Not yet. What happened?"
"Sit, Billy. You're hurt pretty bad."
Billy sat. Celine sat at his side and murmured softly to herself, much like Jack. Her hand absently brushed across her face and wiped at the dripping goo on her face as she rocked back and forth.
"Her three assistants were supposed to do a makeup change on her and redo her hair during the intermission. When I came in and put Eto down, all three jumped me and changed as they came at me. They yelled that she must die. I don't get it."
"That's twice someone tried to kill her tonight."
Billy rubbed at his shoulder and his fingers ran across the wound. He'd lose some blood from it, but nothing too severe. Perhaps a dozen or so stitches.
"I think we should cancel the concert. This is too much. Jack, get up and go upstairs and find a doctor. There's got to be at least a nurse up there. Someone needs to attend to Billy."
"Doctor, nurse."
Jack nodded his head, his eyes still wide with shock. He did, however, get up and go up the stairs.
"Billy, are you all right?"
"I've got a couple of cuts."
Billy could feel the dizziness of both adrenaline and blood loss draining his body. He did need someone, and soon, but he wasn't going to show it. He needed to remain strong and protect Celine. Celine turned and looked at Billy's blood-splattered face, and she grimaced.
You saved me, didn't you?"
"It's my job. I'm here to protect you." Billy shrugged.
"No, you're not here to protect me from monsters. You're not here to chase down assassins. You're here to really protect me, aren't you?"
"I don't think I understand what you're saying." She reached up and wiped Billy's face with her hand. She smiled at him.
"What happened in here?"
a shocked voice asked from the door. Phil moved toward the door, but moved aside when the man came in.
"There was a fight, and one of Celine's private guards got hurt. He needs help, quickly."
"But what happened?"
"That's not a concern now. I can fill you in later. That's Billy. He's got a couple of bad cuts."
The man wore a long white coat with a blue cross over his heart. The only thing he had with him was a large black bag. He delicately stepped across the floor to keep from slipping. Twice he nearly lost his balance, but Phil helped him along.
"Is there a towel or anything I can clean him with?"
"Here." Celine handed the man two large white towels.
"Thank you."
Billy winced as the man wiped at first his shoulder, then attended his legs.
"Looks like you took the worst blow to your shoulder. Let me get there first."
It took several long minutes as the man used a needle and thread to stitch Billy's gashes back together. In that time, Phil left and went back up to the stage, presumably to notify whoever was in charge up there that the concert was over. By the time the man finished cleaning and stitching, Billy thought he'd been in a second fight from the dull ache in his muscles. While Billy got his stitches, Celine excused herself to a small area behind a large room divider.
"Now you need to take it easy. You've lost a lot of blood. I've bandaged you as best I can, but you should at least stay off your feet for 2 days, I'd say."
"But I need to..."
"No buts! You need your rest. I'm a doctor, and I know what's best for you at this point."
Phil returned as the doctor left. They paused at the door and spoke for a moment before Phil came in.
"So, are you actually going to stay off your feet?"
Billy got up from his chair in response. He steadied himself from the veins of pain that shot up his leg.
"I didn't think so. Doctors can be overly cautious. You're not an easy one to take down. I like that about you."
Phil gave Billy a wicked smile.
"Jack isn't coming back down. Eto and Fat are still out. Where's Celine?"
Billy nodded to the room separator.
"Celine, what are you doing?"
She stepped out, dressed in a black, low-cut gown, her hair mostly clean and her makeup somewhat redone.
"I'm going out there and finish this show."
"Celine, someone just tried to kill you."
"Yes, for the second time tonight. The first time didn't stop me, and the second time isn't going to either."
Phil held up his hands.
"The first time it was your pilot. The second time it was your makeup and hair people. If it could happen twice, it could happen a third time. Next time, it could be one of the dancers. What are you going to do on stage if they attack you?"
Celine looked at Billy and smiled.
"Billy will be there. He saved me twice. I'm sure he could save me a third time if need be.
No, I forbid it. You are not going back on stage.
You forbid? You forbid? How do you plan on stopping me?
Well?
Phil started, then shrugged.
Billy, help me out here.
I'm sorry. I agree with Phil. I don't think it's a good idea for you to go back out there.
Selene's mouth curled at the side in a snarl.
I've never stopped a concert. I've done them in the rain, in the snow, during the day, at night. I've never stopped a concert. If you think I'm going to let anyone ruin this night for this audience, you're sadly mistaken. I don't care what you think could happen up there. I'm a big girl, and I can take care of myself if I have to. Now, if you'll get out of my way, I've got a show to put on.
Phil looked at the floor and shook his head. Billy wanted to say something, but nothing came to mind. How could he stop her? She knew more about the city than he did. She knew the risks she took more than he ever could. Sure, Billy had battled men and monsters before, never in the same day, though, but he didn't like the nagging feeling that something dire would happen if she went back on stage without him. And despite the doctor's orders to stay off his feet, if she went back on the stage, he would, too.
I'll go first. Follow me, and stay close.
Selene sighed and looked up at Billy.
I hate to say this, but you're a mess. Please, don't come jumping out in front of me again unless it's something really important.
Like someone shooting at you?
She laughed.
Yeah, like if someone's trying to kill me. I know that you know what you're doing. I won't get upset if you save my life again. Let's just hope that whoever's trying to kill me is done or has given up.
Billy laughed and, with a modest limp, led Selene out of the room.
Where you go without me?
Billy turned in the doorway and looked back at Fat. The poor man rubbed his head and looked like he'd been on the wrong end of a stampede.
Fat, are you all right? I fine. What happened?
Phil stood next to Fat and helped him to his feet.
There was another attempt on Selene's life. Are you all right?
I say I fine. What is this mess?
It was the monsters that tried to attack Selene, Phil said.
Who killed them?
Well, Billy killed two. I killed the other one.
Fat looked at Billy. Billy shrugged.
Just doing my job. That's what we're here for, isn't it? To protect Selene?
Fat looked in stunned silence at the mess all over the room. Several times he looked at Billy, and then Phil.
Come on, Fat. We've got a job to do. Jack is already on the stage.
Billy fetched his axe. He would have gotten his pack if his shoulders didn't hurt so much. He gave a worried look to Selene.
It'll be fine here. No one else is down here, and I doubt there's anything in your pack they'd want.
Billy looked at his pack. He'd had it with him during the entire trip down from the north. He'd only put it down when he slept. His mother had made it for him, just for this trip. It pained him, but he left it sit in the middle of the floor.
Phil, Selene said, can you get someone from the stage crew to come down here and clean this up?
I can.
Phil picked up Billy's pack.
And I'll take care of this.
Phil nodded to Billy. Billy nodded back and turned to leave, but Fat spoke up.
Is concert not over? Why is she here?
Intermission. It went a bit long, and I'll bet the crowd is getting restless. We'd better get up there, or we'll find ourselves on the receiving end of an angry mob. After the way this night has gone, that's not somewhere I want to be. So, unless anyone else has any other objections...
Before we head up there, what did you tell everyone? Asked Selene.
Phil's scales bristled with a quiet rustle.
I tried to tell them you wouldn't be coming back up due to a disturbance. No one believed me. They all said, if she isn't dead, the show will go on. I guess they were right. I've been your agent for a long time, and I have to say that this is by far the most you've gone through trying to get through a concert.
Well, after a night like this, I think you and I need to start discussing my retirement. I don't think I could go through something like this again.
I'm way ahead of you when it comes to your retirement. I've planned for your big finish to your career for a long time. In fact, if we can delay the intermission a few more minutes, I think we can get Steve to set up something extra special. If you really want to announce this is your final concert, let's go out with a bang. No?
Selene's face lit up.
That's why I love you, Phil.
Billy felt his heart sink a little, and his face slackened. Did she say she loved Phil? He wasn't even human. How could she love him? Perhaps she didn't mean that literally. Hopefully she didn't mean that literally.
Hey, let's get up there. Phil, if you're going to talk to Steve, go talk to Steve. You two, I want one in front and one behind. Keep an eye out for anything.
Right.
Phil headed for the door.
Who this?
Fat pointed to Ato's unconscious body. Phil headed back and picked up Ato.
I'll take him. I'm sure there's somewhere we can lock him away. Steve has a lot of trunks up there, and I'm sure most of them are empty at this moment. Now, we'd better get moving.
Each step hurt. Not just mild pain like Billy had felt when walking over a great distance, but deep, intense pain. The doctor had checked and told Billy there hadn't been any poison, just cuts, but each stung and burned. He guessed it must be the stitches. Billy had never had a cut so deep that it required sewing. He wanted to scratch at them, but with all the willpower he could muster, didn't. Instead, he focused on his job, protecting Celine. It didn't matter how much he hurt. He wouldn't allow anything to happen to her. Pain was only a temporary state, something he could overcome. He meant to do that. Billy emerged at the top of the stairwell just after Phil. The crowd noise was much louder than it had been before the concert started. A man in a blue jacket and a large, bushy mustache ran over to Phil. He didn't look happy.
Where have you all been? Intermission is only 15 minutes. People want a show and they want it now. It's been over 30.
He spoke so rapidly that Billy had a hard time figuring out what he said. Phil held up a hand and pointed Ato on his shoulder.
I've got something to take care of, and I need to talk to Steve. If you want to quiet the crowd, get up there and tell them that there was an incident, and Celine has chosen this performance to be her last. If they'll all just remain patient for another 10 or 15 minutes, the show will continue.
The man in the blue jacket gaped at Phil.
The last show? Are you serious?
Yes.
Phil didn't bother to stay and talk to the man. He adjusted Ato and left to the rear of the stage, calling for Steve.
Well, the man said to no one in particular as he twisted his mustache. That changes everything, doesn't it?
He turned and ran up the stairs to the stage.
We'd better get up there as well, Celine said. I'm pretty sure I know what the final number will be, but I need to talk to the dancers now, so when it happens, they'll know what to do. You two. Billy! Fat!
Jack ran to join them.
Are you all right, Billy?
Jack looked Billy up and down, apparently trying to assess if Billy would indeed be all right.
I'm going to be just fine. We need to make sure nothing happens to Celine. She's going to give her final performance.
Oh! I'm sorry to hear that.
He bowed to Celine.
I'm glad I got to see you tonight. I guess we'd better get into position then. I'll be on stage.
Celine ascended the stairs to the stage. A loud voice came from the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement.
Boos emitted from the crowd.
Now, when you hear this, you'll be much happier, I assure you. After certain events that have transpired this evening, Celine has decided that this will be her final concert. All of you are to witness her last show she will ever give. So, if you'll remain patient for just a few more minutes, the finale will be worth every penny you paid to get in. Let's hear it for Celine!
The crowd erupted in applause and cheers, even louder than when she took the stage the first time. Billy had thought the curtain had risen again, but it remained down. On the stage, Celine spoke with the dancers in preparation for the last part of the show. Billy absently scratched at his shoulder and winced.
You okay?
Jack asked.
I'll be fine.
Billy looked down at Jack.
You didn't help.
Why?
Billy, I meant to. I mean, I really would have helped. I've just never seen anything like that before. I didn't know what to do. Those things with all the tentacles and blades and everything.
Jack shook his head. He had truly been in shock. Billy wondered if Jack had ever been in a fight before.
I understand, Jack. When I was 10 and went into battle for the first time, I had a difficult time when I saw the blood. Stick with me. I'll make a warrior out of you.
Fat laughed.
You make warrior out of Jack? That's funny. Hey, I could have been a great warrior if I wanted to. You're so funny.
Jack pushed Fat.
Don't you two get into it. Not here. Not now. We've got a job to do.
Billy's ears tingled. He'd never talked to anyone like that before. As he spoke, he thought he must sound like his father, God's rest his spirit. Billy looked skyward. He used to believe that the stars were spirits of the dead. Knowing that Phil came from one of them made that difficult to hold on to. Still, he knew deep down that his father looked over all he did, and he would never do anything that would disappoint his father. For that matter, he would never do anything he'd want getting back to his mother in the north. He'd never hear the end of it if he did.
Come, we get stage ready.
Billy smiled. He liked it better with Fat giving the orders. This was, after all, his town, and he should be giving the orders.
I could be great, you know.
Jack brought up the rear as they took their places on the stage.
What did that announcer mean? There was no way he could have known what Iman had planned for the finale to this concert. No way at all. He talked as if he knew how great the finale would be. Iman had taken great measures. He stood and left the small room. His guests talked among themselves, and that suited him just fine. He needed a few minutes to himself to clear his thoughts. He'd just been inside Billy's head at the start of the intermission. They had caught an assassin. Perhaps that had led Celine to call it quits. The weak woman. That couldn't be it, though. He'd heard stories of her through Phil. She didn't just give up when faced with something as simple as an attempt on her life. She'd been through far worse. She'd always gone on with the show. Perhaps she found out about the plan. Iman gasped. Could she? Was it at all possible? He had grand plans that all centered around her. No, that wasn't it. She knew even less than Fat and Jack. No way either one of them would tell her anything, no matter how little they knew or could have guessed at. Something had to have happened he hadn't seen. Something after he left Billy's head and before they came back on stage. She'd proven herself a diva, but never one to keep her audience waiting. He silently cursed himself for inviting people to his private room. How stupid he'd been to invite people. He would be able to gloat over the entire crowd soon enough. Iman made his way down the hallway and out to an open balcony that overlooked the city. He took several deep breaths to clear his head. He could smell the magic in the air. With his eyes closed, he could feel it coursing through the stadium structure. Oh yes, soon everything would be in place, and he'd be able to reveal his plan. He looked down at the throngs of people on the street. Guards in their brightly colored uniforms had closed off all the streets surrounding the stadium. At least the same number of people stood outside the stadium and listened as were inside the stadium. The entire time the concert had been going on, the crowd had grown. The feeling of true power pulsed through Iman's body like an orgasm. Again, he closed his eyes and tried to suppress any outward emotion of what he felt.
This will be a night no one in this pitiful world will ever forget. Ever.
Everything was in place. Now all he had to do was wait for the right time to spring his trap. The beauty of it all was that no one suspected a thing. No one at all. Iman smiled. It didn't matter anymore. All the little distractions didn't matter. He'd taken every measure possible to ensure the night would go as he planned. Even if Celine suspected something, which was impossible, her announcement that this would be her final performance would only attract more people to the stadium. Iman didn't mind that at all.
Bring all the people here you want. It'll only make me that much more powerful. I'll make sure they'll all know it.
Iman looked up at the stars. A dark shape blocked out a number of them. He narrowed his eyes. He could just make out the outline of a dragon, but it was far too high to identify. He'd have to keep his eyes open for that one. No long-range dragons flew at night, and none flew so high. He placed his palm on the orb in his pocket, but didn't contact Jack or Billy. He needed to know if Fat had woken up, but he didn't want to talk with either of them. The less they knew, the better, and telling them to watch out for a dragon, that was just tempting fate, and he needed those two to remain ignorant, as ignorant as possible. It didn't matter if someone came to the stadium unannounced in a dragon. Nothing could be done at this point to prevent the execution of his plan. Iman turned from the railing and went back to be with his guests. After tonight, he'd never have to tolerate their company again. Billy tried to hold still and took several deep breaths. He needed to concentrate on the task at hand and not on his own wounds. Phil came out of the fray unscathed, thanks to his scales. Celine, the alleged target of the assassins, got no more than a smattering of blood on her, but was no worse off than before she went into the dressing room. If she had been the target, and the monsters that attacked her weren't afraid to die, why hadn't they gone after Celine? They had attacked Phil first. They even attacked Billy, from across the room, even though they stood next to Celine. At any time, they could have struck her down. Why had they held off in doing so? With their tentacles and blades, they were made for killing. Yet they didn't take care of their objective first. It just didn't make any sense. If anything, Phil and Billy should have been afterthoughts. The job must come first. A diversion. It had to be a diversion. Perhaps set up by the same person who had hired the pilot to kill Celine. But then again, why had the pilot not killed Celine on the way to the concert? His attempt, for Billy at least, had been the easiest to thwart. Could someone be trying to just scare Celine into quitting? But quitting forever or just tonight? Was there something about tonight's performance that was special? Something that someone else might be trying to exploit to their own ends? And what would those ends be? What was the point of killing or scaring Celine? On the opposite side of the stage, Jack and Fat appeared to be in deep discussion. Several times, Fat pointed his angry finger at Billy, oblivious that Billy watched them. Billy thought about pulling out the orb to speak with them, but changed his mind, and only put his hand in his pocket, where the orb lay. Celine still conversed with the dancers over the moves and the changes. She even spoke with the bandleader and Steve Jameson. Each person, Billy knew, could be a potential suspect, along with any of the crowd that watched. Any person could easily be an enemy. This wasn't what Billy was used to. He was used to solving problems with his axe, or sword, not his mind. Sure, he knew how to strategize to defeat an enemy, but this was an entirely different situation. In battle, you had to know who you had on your side and who to fight. Billy suddenly felt alone amidst the crowd. Only he could protect Celine. He couldn't trust anyone. Possibly not even Phil. Not even Fat or Jack. Could he even trust Iman, who had given him the job of protecting Celine? Had he been hired because he was big and not smart? Or so they thought. Maybe he was just a patsy in all this. Put in place to give the appearance of doing something good, when in fact he wasn't anything more than just a lackey, to make people think that all that could be done to prevent Celine from being killed had been done. Was the entire concert a ruse for something much bigger? Something more grand, all set up by design? Billy shook his head. No. He was overthinking the situation. That never led to anything good. Most threats were direct threats, and he had to be prepared for those and those alone. Everything else had to be pushed aside for the time being. If he kept thinking about the situation, he'd not be ready when something did happen. Even so, he'd still have to watch everyone around Celine. Anyone she spoke to or had access to her, Billy had to assume was a potential assassin. Each dancer in their fancy costumes, where they could hide a weapon in the flowing folds, or the musicians, or Steve with his collapsible stage. Everyone. Anyone. No direct attack would get past Billy. None. With or without help, he'd make sure that Celine survived the night. Billy! Her voice made him nearly jump out of his skin. He'd been so deep in thought he hadn't even heard her approach. Not good for her protector to be getting spooked. He took a deep breath to calm himself. I don't blame you for being jumpy after what happened down in my dressing room. Billy blushed. I'm just doing my job. She put her hand on his arm. No, Billy. You're doing more than just your job. Even if your job is to protect me, you did more than that. You saved my life twice tonight. Her lips curled up at the corners in a weak attempt at a smile. She looked nervous, but she didn't shift her eyes away from his. Billy, what I'm trying to say is, thank you.
You don't...
I know I don't need to, but I want to. Honestly, Billy, you're the only one here that's gone so far out of your way to protect me. It's got me nervous. I feel like there's something happening that I've been kept unaware of, and I don't feel like I'm in control right now. I'm not used to that. I'm used to getting my way and people doing everything I tell them. First my pilot tries to shoot me, then my hairdresser and makeup artist turn into monsters and try and kill me. If it hadn't been for you, I'd be dead. Do you understand?
Billy wanted to reach down and wipe the tears away from her eyes, but he couldn't move. He felt hypnotized by her presence, almost as if her figure encased in the tight-fitting, low-cut black dress was talking to him, and not her mouth. He wanted to allow his eyes to stray all over her body. He wanted to touch her, and hold her, and hug her, and tell her that everything would be all right. He couldn't do that. He didn't know. He didn't know if any of them would make it out of this night alive. He had no reassurance for her other than words. He had to say something, or she'd think he was just another stupid lunk like all the others, Shirley thought.
I have done what I was hired to do, and I will continue to do so. I want you to know that as long as I'm standing on this stage, you're safe. With every fiber of my being, I'll make sure no harm comes to you. I promise you that.
She squeezed his arm, and dropped her arm to her side, and looked down at her feet. With a wave of her hand, she wiped the stray tears from her eyes.
The show must go on. I've got an audience to entertain. Now that I know you're not going anywhere, I feel better.
She stood up straight, the top of her head still only level with Billy's chest. He thought for a moment that she was going to hug him, but her look tensed, and she turned away.
Let's get this show going! We've got people waiting! Places! Places!
The corner of Billy's mouth rose, as did the curtain. At that very moment he saw Celine. He really saw her. In all her glory, with the torch spots highlighting her hair and the deafening roar of the crowd, her smile beamed and her radiant glow filled the stadium with joy. Billy's heart fluttered, then settled. It stopped when he caught a dark form blot out a small section of stars on the far end of the stadium. Not again.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.